And as far as our discipleship, our determination that we're going to follow the Lord. We make that decision and, of course, Lord working in our heart that brought us to Christ. And I hope everybody here knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But there's decisions that are beyond that about how we're going to turn our life over to the Lord and choosing to be a Christian, as he just sang. I appreciate him. I appreciate all the young people. What a blessing that you guys are to me and to really the rest of the congregation. So anyway, great job. All right. Again, what a great day. Father's Day. I want us to take our Bibles. We're going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And by the way, we have some gifts for our dads, and they'll be given out right after the service. I think the ladies will be giving those out to you as you head on out. But also, we want to just include all of those that are senior high and up. Okay, we've got some gifts for you, but certainly for our dads. So it's another significant day in the year, and it truly is, because there's a lot of goofy things to celebrate, you know. Now, not National Taco Day, that's legitimate, okay, that's a good one. But Father's Day, that's so special. It's a day to honor our dads, and I miss my dad. It's been 25 years. My dad passed away in 1998, and I miss my dad. I so much love the relationship that we had. I'm so glad that my dad got saved late in life, but he got saved, and I'm looking forward to seeing my dad. But what a blessing. Grant you this, that mom is to be able to do that for all our dads. Now, when it comes to receiving gifts on these special days, I'm told that we as Americans spend 50% on moms for Mother's Day than dads, but there really is a more expensive list than dads. So come on, dads, we can start turning this thing around if we think this thing through, right? Be a father or to be a mother. What a great thing that God has allowed us to have that opportunity. And certainly to be able to chapter 6 is a very noteworthy thing. Now, did I have you turn to Deuteronomy? I have to turn the page, but Moses is, he's not going to be able to take the children of Israel into the promised land, into Canaan. So Deuteronomy is his last direction and instructions for them before they go into the land. And he's bringing up a lot of things by way of review, and he's challenging them. And he brings up the Ten Commandments there in chapter 5. And as the verse 16, and he says, honor thy father and thy mother, and that it may thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged. And Ephesians chapter, go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We read that in Ephesians. That may be a 6 in our scripture reading. And hopefully your parents are still around. Hopefully your dad passed away for 20 years. That you're able to do that and you're able to honor him. As I mentioned, my dad's now been passed away for a great 5 years. And I don't have that opportunity to call him on the phone. I can still remember a lot of great conversations that we had on the phone and talking to him. And my mom has also passed away, and she's with the Lord. So I look forward to seeing mom and dad. But I do miss those special days for my mom, and I miss this special day with my dad. But if you have that still available to you, make the most of it. Amen. And that's why we do. We take the rest of the day off, and we want you to spend time with your families. But as we do so, as we honor our dads, or when we are being honored, we know how important it is for us to set the best examples that we can, right? If we're going to be honored, amen? We should be setting forth a good example. I mean, think about it. I think it would have been a little bit awkward for Charles Manson's kids on Father's Day, right? Father's cards, but a little bit out of obligation. You were supposed to laugh with all of that. Charles Manson, all right? Not the poster boy or the poster man for Father's Day. So this morning, I want to put forth the importance of a father's example. The importance of a father's example. And Moses, again, is prepping Israel for Canaan. So with that, let's have a word of prayer as we're going to get into the things that Moses instructs the fathers and the mothers, those that are going into the land, about being a blessing to others. So let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity today to be able to have Father's Day. We thank you, Lord, for the fathers that you've given to us. We know that none of them were perfect. We certainly are not perfect. We thank you for our fathers and our mothers as well. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to celebrate this day, to honor them. Thank you for the fathers that are here today. And Lord, we pray that it would be a special day for them and their families and their church family as well. So we pray that in all of this, Lord, what we want more than anything else is certainly we do want to bring honor unto them, honor, give honor to unto whom honor is due, but we want to honor you more than anything. Lord, you're the greatest Father. You're our heavenly Father for those of us that know you as our Savior. And we thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our hearts and in our lives. And so may we honor you every day. And we pray, Lord, that you would be glorified. We want the name of Jesus Christ to be lifted up. And I pray for the Spirit of God to do his work today in our hearts. I would pray for anybody here without Christ as their personal Savior. And may we be drawn closer to you, and may we be drawn closer to our family, and certainly our fathers. So we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so Moses speaks here to Israel and really to us this morning as we go through this passage. He puts a supreme commandment to God's people. And we'll read here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 1 through 5. When he says this, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And here he gives his first instruction as we read verse 5. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." So the first thing that he lays out very, very clearly for us as fathers, for us and really every one of us as believers, all right? But the emphasis, obviously, today is on fathers. So I'll be speaking to fathers. And that is to love the Lord God with all of your heart. Love the Lord God with all of your heart. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
Certainly. Listen, that is the center of the target for every one of us. We ought to be thinking about that on an ongoing basis. Lord, I want to love you with all of my heart. The Lord Jesus, he was many, many times approached by different individuals. There was a particular man who was tempting him. He was trying to just kind of trap him. And so he was tempting him, and he asked him, what was the greatest commandment in the law? And the Lord Jesus Christ told this man, who was a lawyer, as it says in that passage, in Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." So dads, I ask you this question is, do you love the Lord with all of your heart? It's what we're commanded to do, amen?
Amen.
Let's not sidestep it. Let's make sure that that's always on the center of our radar. It shouldn't be a difficult thing when we think about what he did for us. It ought to just come naturally when we realize that he gave his life for us. He gave his very all for us so that we could have everlasting life. Praise the Lord, and it ought to be our natural response to want to give unto him everything that we have, and certainly to give him our heart. Now, if we do have a love for the Lord in our hearts, obviously that can continue to grow. Let's not settle for wherever that level is right now, but let's determine that we want to love the Lord even more tomorrow than we do today. But if we do love the Lord, then you know what it'll do, folks, and what it'll do, dads, is it'll reverberate within your family. It'll reverberate. It'll have a profound effect. And it will do some things in your family's life just by the fact that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't even have to say anything, although we are commanded to teach and to say some things. We'll see that with this passage as we go a little further. But people will see it just in your manner of life. People will see things that are different about you. And if they knew you from way back when, they'll know he's not the same person that he used to be. Something has changed in his life. And folks, that will reverberate within your family. That if we have a love for the Lord, if we dwell upon what he has done for us, if we're in his word and we allow him to speak to us through his word, it'll create something inside of us, folks. It'll create a thankfulness within our own very hearts. If we have a love for the Lord, you know that when you love someone, it's a great thing. You'll wake up each morning with a thankful heart and you'll say, "Good morning, Lord," instead of, "Good Lord, it's morning." Yeah, we'll have a whole different outlook on our lives, and it'll put a song in our hearts. Singing, "I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord." Man, we ought to have a song in our hearts. And you know, that's going to happen when we're close to the Lord and when we walk with him and we have a love for him. Do you know what? There'll be a song in your heart. That's why we're told to have songs and hymns and spiritual songs, and we're to sing those in our hearts because it's pleasing unto the Lord. I think sometimes when people look at us, maybe another song's comes to their mind, and like maybe "You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog Crying All the Time." That's not a good thing if that's what people are thinking about us. They ought to see something different in us. They ought to see a smile on our face and the joy, a gladness, because we have a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So hopefully our children, hopefully our whole family sees that we have a love for the Lord, that we have a love for him, that we love him with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our souls, with all of our strength. Is that true of you? Is that true of me? But Moses says to them, boy, love the Lord God with all of your hearts. And then he speaks about another thing. And we go here to this next passage here as you get on to verse 6. And he says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Right along with a love in our hearts for the Lord is a desire to have his word in our hearts. We're to have his word in our hearts, and we're to have a love for it. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." Wisdom. We're to have the word of Christ dwelling in our hearts with all wisdom of his word at the same time. That just cannot happen. The Lord Jesus Christ said this in John chapter 14, and in verse 15, he says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Boy, you can't make it any clearer or any plainer than that. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And you can only keep them as you hold on to them tightly. We're to hold on to the word of God tightly. I want you to turn to a passage that in Proverbs chapter 2, as Solomon wrote this, Proverbs chapter 2, let's take a look at these first five verses as he gives instruction to his son, which probably would have been Rehoboam, his boy, and he was a young boy, and all of his children. Solomon seems to be saying to his children, "Gather around, let me give you some important instruction." And he says here in Proverbs chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, And he keeps saying, if you do all these things. And then in verse 5 it says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Boy, there's a great treasure that awaits for those of us who love his word and we search for it as silver and for gold. And we ask the Lord to give us a love for his word. That's exactly what the psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 97. He says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Now listen, we have our schedules and our schedules can just flat out tire us out because it's just hustle and bustle all the way, and we just keep going. And sometimes some of those most important things get crowded out. Have you found that that's the case many times? But let's make sure that we prioritize some very important things, and that is our walk with the Lord. Boy, if we just need to back off our schedule a bit, and if we can do it, I would say do it. Do it so that we can take a little time to catch our breath, to make sure that our relationship, our walk with Christ is as it ought to be. And that the Word of God is in our hearts. That we would be put it to memory and that we would meditate upon the Word of God. That we would love it with all of our hearts. I look at Phyllis Hickey over here. And Phyllis, you and Milt again, and I bring you up. What a blessing that you folks have been to me through all the years, just like a spiritual mom and dad. But how much they love the Word of God. They had a ministry called Scripture on the Wall Ministry because they wanted to highlight the Word of God. And anytime I was around them, we just loved to look in the Word of God, didn't we? We had those special times. I remember back in the day when I was a meter reader and I'd go out to New Plymouth and I realized, yeah, this is the day I can see Milton and Phyllis, and I'd let them know, and Phyllis would always have some goodies for me. Not that I was trying to set that up. Phyllis is just a great hostess. And then Milt, and oh, you, so many of you that didn't get a chance to meet Brother Milt, you'll meet him up in heaven, but you've certainly missed out, but what a gracious couple, and we would just sit and just have great fellowship, and then we would ultimately talk about the Word of God, and I just love the fact that they had a great love for the Word of God, and Phyllis continues to have that love for it. But may we have a love for the Word of God. May we not take it so lightly. And I'm not just throwing everybody here under the bus, but I'm speaking to you if it applies, if the shoe fits, if maybe you've gotten so busy that you've left the Word of God in the dust, it's just time to stop. And, pump the brakes a little and take a look and say, Lord, am I neglecting your word? It needs to be hidden in my heart. The word of God needs to be full in my heart. Let it dwell in my heart richly, as Colossians chapter 3 says. Amen? And that's what Moses is saying to them. Have a love for the word of God. Have a love for the word of God every day. Love the Lord God with all your hearts and love his word. And then finally, a desire to invest that into others or into your children, as the passage says. And of course, that would be fitting for fathers here today. Invest that into your children. But I want to broaden it for every one of us that we would invest it into others around us. Verse 7 says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We're commanded to teach our children and others as well. But we're commanded to tell our children. We're to do it diligently. Amen. We're to do it with some passion. Amen. Don't we get passionate about some things? Yeah, we get passionate about things. We ought to be passionate about the things of God. And we ought to be passionate about the Word of God so that we have an opportunity to teach others around us. And we'll see that we have a variety of methods here to teach others. But listen, folks, sometimes we can be so apathetic about the things that we do for God. Someone once asked the question, what's the difference between apathy and indifference? And the person responded, I don't know and I don't care. Listen, don't let that be true of you. There's another corny joke that you can get a hold of. But listen, that shouldn't be true of us. We shouldn't become mundane or routine about the things of God. It ought to stir our hearts up. We're to talk to them. We're to have good communication with our sons and our daughters. Let me encourage you, fathers, you have your kids at home. But let me say this, grandfathers can step into that role too. Amen. Amen? How many times I look at Brother Jordan right here, you got some sweet grandkids. And I'm sure you spend time talking to them, no doubt. It's important to listen to talk and to communicate with your children. Boy, take time to do that. I know you may have busy schedules, dads, and I understand that. I think about my dad, and my dad was a busy man, and he worked for 40 to 41 years at the same place, and he was a faithful man who provided for his family, and yet he would take time with me. Now, I would have loved more time, but when I look back, I think, man, my dad was so tired, and he worked so hard, but my dad would play catch with me. He would spend time with me. Listen, don't overlook that. Don't overlook that. Spend that time. Spend those precious times with your children. Obviously with your wives, dads, but with your children. And I speak to granddads again. Spend that time with your family. Spend that time with your grandkids. Teach them some things about the Word of God. Teach them some things about the Lord. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16, it says, and to communicate, forget not. To communicate, forget not. We're to communicate with one another. We get into this breakneck speed schedules that we have, and sometimes the ones that get left in the lurch are our own family members. Let's make sure we don't do that. Somehow let us teach the things of Christ by even when we sit. Like, look at that passage again. We're to teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Somehow we're to teach the things of Christ by even when we're sitting, when we're walking, when we lie down, and when we rise up. And probably in most of that, it'll be in the nonverbal variety. There's a lot of teaching that takes place without words being said. In other words, they will see it. They'll see how it is when we're sitting down and lounging. They'll see how it is when we're walking around the house. They'll see how it is when we're rising up and when we're lying down. You know how they're going to see it? They're going to see it in our most common everyday occurrences that we never think twice about. Some of the most mundane things are maybe where your children will see it the most. They'll see how happy and joyful you are when you're ready to go get a root canal from the dentist. So that's pushing it a little, Pastor. But you know, some of the chores around the house, going out and mowing the lawn and weed whacking, or some chore these have to do. And moms certainly with their daughters and with our kids rising up, these little things that we don't even think about, the lying down, the rising, the sitting, and the walking about. Well, we can probably take a billboard for the Lord Jesus Christ, and our kids. How joyful Dad always was! He just seemed to always have a smile on his face, even though I knew that there were times when our family was going through things, and financially we were really scraping the bottom, and there was a joy. And you know what that speaks volumes, folks. That speaks volumes to a legacy that you and I can leave behind. It's better than leaving them $1 million if you leave a legacy for Christ behind. They'll be richer than any millionaire on this planet or billionaire if they have that as their heritage. What a great thing that we have as an opportunity to pass that along. Among the many things that Paul told Timothy to be an example of, one of them was in spirit. Remember, he said, be an example to the believers in word and conversation and charity and a spirit and faith and purity. He said, be an example in spirit. Yeah, let people see a vibrant spirit, an excited spirit inside of you. Listen, that doesn't mean, folks, we're never going to get down. That's not being realistic. I don't want to be walking around with this big old cheesy grin on my face. You're going to look at me and go like, there's something wrong with that guy, okay? And listen, you know what? Life hits us, and we have our down times. And listen, I want to be as real with you as I possibly can. I want to be transparent with you. I try to do that. I think I talked about, I brought up a new word for me last week, broody, right? Sometimes I could be broody, right? We don't want to stay there. There's things that hit us. You know what? Our best recourse is always go back to the Lord Jesus Christ, just to go to the Lord and look unto Him. And God has a way of buoying up our spirits. He can lift us up when we're down in the doldrums. You know what the doldrums are? It's a Greek word that means, well, down low, down in the basement, okay? We don't want to be down in the doldrums. We don't want to stay there, and the Lord doesn't want us to stay there. But folks, I'm trying to be real. Yeah, we're going to have our rough times. But if we learn how to just walk with the Lord, we'll just rise right back out of that. And it'll be the Lord who does it. As we walk with Christ, as He is in the light, we're to have fellowship with Him. And that's why you can walk around with really a joy, a smile on your face, because the Bible does promise a peace that passeth understanding. And so some people through the years that are really going through some rough times, and you think, man, they seem to be happy. They seem to really, really have a joy there. There's times when you wonder, you think, I think they're faking it. And you know, you catch them at an unguarded moment, and there's still that smile on their face, and you think, no, there's something real there. So they've learned how to focus on the Lord. They've learned how to keep their eye on Him, and they've learned how to walk with Him. And folks, we are exhorted to do the same thing. So do we have a good spirit when we talk to others, or when we're sitting, or walking, or lying down, or when we're rising up? Do we have that good spirit? Is our mind and our thoughts always on the Lord? All of this tells me there's a lot of observation going on. And it said, because listen, again, most of that move you make kind of puts the pressure on us, doesn't it, dads? Right? Yeah, because you know those little ones they're just kind of, you know, they're not even doing it consciously, but it's imprinting on these brains that God has given them and for you and I. And it's imprinting, and they'll fall back on it. I can think of so many things and tell me some things that I just, some particular talks when he would sit down and look at him to communicate to me. And they just have stood out through the years. They still register. You know, a son, you know, I think he saw me as a little kid that was intimidated, you know, in social settings. And, you know, little kids have a hard time looking adults in the eye, right? And I remember my dad saying, son, I want you to learn something. I want you to learn to look people in the eye. I want you to have that good eye contact. And, you know, from that point on, if I started to go down, my there was my dad talking to me. And he didn't even do it in a stern way, but there was my dad's face because it meant everything to me. And he wants me, yeah, have eye contact. And I wonder if I'm supposed to blink, you know. So that stood out. And numerous other things. Those things are like impressions that are made in clay. It's said about a naughty person and a wicked man in Proverbs chapter 6. In verses 12 and 13, it says, he walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. And he teacheth with his fingers. A naughty and a wicked man, there's body language, and they teach things by what they do with these body parts, with these fingers and with their feet. And you know, we do the same thing too. We do the same thing too, and we're in the flesh too often. And we're coarse and harsh, and we're too sharp. Maybe we need to back that off and say, Lord, will you help me? I think I'm just coming down too hard on my children, and I know that they need some firm discipline, but I want to do it Christ-like. And I think I have a tendency to get into my old temper. You ever find yourself going there where you just lose it? Oh, yeah, I remember losing it with my kids sometimes. Thank the Lord, it never got that bad. But, I mean, there was, you know, just, oh, Lord, help me. I could go over the top, and I don't want to do that. You know, maybe something that they do is irritating and it's annoying, but Lord, help me. I want to deal with that. Don't let it slide by. If there's something that your children need to know about, you need to address it. But there's a right way to do it. The Bible talks about in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 about having a Christ-like spirit when you have to deal with somebody that's you know, messed up. All right, I'm just paraphrasing because the verse is not coming right to my mind, but that's where it's at. And we're to do it in a Christ-like spirit, lest we also get tempted. So may we have the right spirit when we're dealing with our children. May it be pleasing unto the Lord. And then Moses finishes by saying, and then topping it all off by placing it all around you. Here in verses 8 and 9, it says this, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." And all what he's saying now is like they need to see it on you. They need to see Christ in you. But then they need to see a Christ-like environment around them. They need to see it on your hands and on your foreheads. That talks about frontlets, and they talk about phylacteries. In the Jewish culture, they would wear scripture right on their forehead, and they would put scripture on their hand so that they just made it all and out clear. So, folks, I mean, we're not necessarily going to do that. That's not our culture to walk around with scripture on our foreheads. But they ought to see Christ in us again. And they ought to see something posted. That's why he even goes and says, on the post of your house and on your gates there in verse 9. I'm sure you can find something at Hobby Lobby that would work great. All right? Hobby Lobby is full of those kinds of things to put around your house that will remind people about the things of the Lord. But may they see that in our homes as well. Amen? I think it was G. Campbell Morgan, a great preacher in England way back in the day, back in the time when Spurgeon was preaching. And it came to his mind that he heard somebody speaking, and it might have been somebody's message about, do people come into your home and do they see Christ? And it spoke to him, and he said, you know, I don't know that there's enough of that in my home. I think I need to dress it up enough so that when people walk through, they know this is a Christian's home. Now, it shouldn't just be all about that because, listen, what's most important is about what's here in our heart. Because we could have all of the Hobby Lobby Christian signs all in our house and everything, but if our hearts are lacking, then it's better to do away with all that and work on this and make sure the heart's right. But it's good to have that as well. It's good to have that as well. This poem, A Father's Example, "There are little eyes upon you. They are watching night and day. And there are little ears that listen to every word you say. There are little hands all eager to do the things you do. And a little boy who is dreaming of the day he'll be like you. You are the little fellow's hero. You are the wisest of the wise. In his little mind about you, no suspicions ever arise. There is a wide-eyed little fellow who believes you are always right, and his ears are always open, and he watches day and night. Are you setting an example every day in all you do? But the little boy who is waiting to grow up to be like you." Listen, the Lord commanded that mothers and fathers are to be honored. We see that in the Ten Commandments, and we saw that in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. But how about our part as a father, what we're exhorted to do? Do we love the Lord God with all of our hearts? Are we determined to love him more than our wives, more than our children? We're to love the Lord with all of our hearts, and all of our mind, and all of our strength, and all of our soul. And then, folks, do we love his word? Do we love it? We need to have a good back and forth with the Lord and say, Lord, do I love your word? I know I can improve. Will you help me? I want to have a love for it. And then Are we teaching our children? And all of us, are we teaching somebody around us just by how we go about, just a good spirit? I miss Hank and Cindy, as you well know, all of us do. And I love both of their spirits, but, you know, Hank was kind of a standout that way, right, would you say? Amen. And there was just nothing phony at all about him, but he was just always brimming and always looking on the sunny side. And you couldn't help but be encouraged by Brother Hank. And Cindy, too. I just love her work ethic. She was just always wanting to be a help. She's such a servant. What a blessing that she, was. I'm going to say they haven't passed away. Okay, they're just in Georgia. Hi, Brother Hank and Cindy, if you're watching. What a blessing. Because that spirit, it makes a difference. If we have a spirit that's honoring to Christ. Yeah, we're not going to bat 1,000. Somebody asked me recently, what does that mean, bat 1,000? Well, you know, we're not going to be perfect, okay? But we can do our best. We can say, Lord, please help me. People are watching me. I don't want to do it because people are watching me, but I want to do it because you're watching. And you're worthy for me to give my life for you. Amen. We drop the ball, but we can just get right back up and say, Lord, forgive me. And he's so good and gracious to forgive us, isn't he? And so, Dad, I challenge you. I challenge myself. I'm still a dad. Yeah, we don't have little kids at home, but we got grandkids. Got a couple more that are ready to come out anytime here. We know those little eyes are going to be watching Grandpa and Grandma too. But I challenge you. I challenge every one of us. And these little kids are not just looking at Mom and Dad. They're looking at every one of us when they run around in church. Right. And they're seeing Christ in us, or maybe they're just seeing that just a grumpy old man. That's not a good thing. May we have a heart for Christ. If you're here without Jesus Christ, we want to see you get saved. Jesus died on a cross for our sins. He loved us, and he was buried and rose again. He took all of our sins upon him. He never committed one sin. He's God, God who became a human being. He never stopped becoming God. He was all God. He was all man, and he went to a cross for you if you're here today without Jesus. And we would love to see you get saved, and you can know that you're saved if you'll simply trust Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we want to make that invitation to you as well. So with that, we put that out as it is. And I challenge dads, and I would put a challenge if you're here without Christ, to make a decision for the Lord today if he's spoken to your hearts. With that, would you bow your heads at this time? In a few moments, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. But with your heads bowed, and we're in a spirit and an attitude of prayer. We're looking unto the Lord right now. We're praying for what God's doing in our own hearts, and praying for what he's doing in the hearts of every one of us that are here. Maybe God's spoken to you as a dad about maybe stepping up your game, about maybe where we all fall short, because we all do fall short. And if he's spoken to you, then I hope that you'll just take it to the Lord and let him take you to a level that maybe you're not at right now, that maybe he's convicting your heart about being a somebody who loves him with all of our hearts and who loves his word and who wants to teach others around us and be an example, somebody that has an influence. We certainly want that with our children. And so in just a moment when we sing this invitational hymn, maybe God will have you come to the altar. You certainly can. You don't have to do it that way. You can pray and talk to the Lord right there in your seats. But if you're here without Christ, we want to persuade you to trust Christ as your Savior. And you can step out in the aisle and come up, and we'll show you from the Bible how you can be saved. And you can know you're on your way to heaven. There's nothing better than that. So with that, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing a hymn of invitation. Father, we thank you today. Thank you again that it's Father's Day. Thank you that we can honor them. Thank you for the dad you gave to me. Thank you that you are the great Father of all fathers. You're our Heavenly Father, and you love us. You're so kind and gracious to us. And thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on a cross for our sins that we could be saved. So we thank you and praise you. Would you help us? Help us as dads, as grandpas. Lord, we help us to realize we have a power of influence. Help us to realize that there are those that are watching us. Help us to be more Christ-like. And we pray for anybody here without Christ that you'll work in hearts. We thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand with a hymn.